Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to yet another episode of Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer the questions you have regarding the upbringing of your children. And the answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Well, today in our studio, we have with us Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, living in a society, not everyone is having the same nature. Some people have good ethics, some children do not have good morals, and some have very good values, and some really don't have. Some have really, really bad values that have been taught to them, or maybe the societies they have been brought up with. Now, how do we teach our children, especially the teens who love to be friends with everyone around, to detect the kinds of behaviors they have with the friends around, and actually how to deal with these different kinds of teens or friends they are meeting outside?
Yes, it's very important to be able to have a healthy and moral life. It is necessary that we develop that moral sense in our children. Morality is something universal. As human beings, inherently our nature, by nature we want, we know, and what is good and what is evil, what is right, what is wrong. What is good, what is bad. Inherently, as human beings, our nature is made up of goodness. Everything is positive because Allah has created us. Allah has created us in His image with perfection. So that innate and inherent quality of knowing what is good, what is beautiful, what is ugly, that is something which has to be developed and nurtured in a child. Universal values of goodness, of justice, of equality, balanced life. These are things which have to be brought home to our children from a very early life through our own examples, through the examples we set. If we live a life of morality, even if we're not religious people, of course that is not possible. Morality without religion is not possible. I mean, if you're religious, you have to be a moral person. It may be possible that you are a good moral person, but you don't have a religion. Like the Imam Hussein, when he was at Karbala, he was saying to his enemies, "Look, if you're not free, if you do not worship Allah, then at least be free in your lives. Don't be slaves. Don't be enchained." So every human being inherently knows what goodness is. So this has to be developed.
Exactly.
And this has to be encouraged.
Right.
And this has to be praised. Whenever a child does something good, positive, we should encourage him. We should praise him. It's not something that it's not what we think. It's what Allah Almighty, we always should say that this is something which Allah considers to be good.
Right.
Our intellect has been created by Allah Almighty in such a way that most of the times our intellect can perceive what is good.
Indeed, it's beyond the laws of religion that a person is able to distinguish between the good and the bad.
And we as Shia Muslims, as the followers of the Ahlul Bayt of Islam, believe that everything which has been commanded by Allah Almighty, has been ordained by Allah Almighty as an obligation, there is some underlying morality to it. There are principles, ethical, moral principles that are underlying that command. It cannot be without that. And sometimes, even if we do not understand what is the principle behind it, the very fact that Allah Almighty has ordained it, we are sure, we are certain that it is based on a principle or on a moral principle.
Right.
Therefore, either our intellect can decipher, can determine, can distinguish what is good, and if it is not possible, by the very fact that God Almighty has ordained it, we can realize and we can make our children understand whatever Allah Almighty has ordained, it's for our good. There's
right.
something good, whether in this world or the hereafter, it's
right.
for our salvation.
Right.
So if this way of thinking and feeling has been developed in our children, when they go out in society, they don't feel a problem.
Right. Professor, we'll be discussing more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Nakavi, and we're discussing about the moral values that are different in different children. And we are discussing here how your teen can act in a society where different teens are possessing different moral values.
So, the different moral values based, as we said, we need to discuss these principles and issues with the different groups that we're interacting with. And we need to come to a common ground. We need to find the common ground between us. Certainly, as I said, it's not a difficult task because moral things are of a universal...
Are intrinsic.
Intrinsic and universal. So if we don't... sometimes we think that the customs and traditions of a society, they are basically the morals of that society. That's not necessary. Yes,
right.
When you go to another society, they have traditions and customs. Yes, we need to take care of their customs and traditions. As they also said, when you go to Rome, when you are in Rome, do as the Romans do. But that does not mean that you cross your lines. Your red
right.
lines are there. You have to maintain your red lines, especially
exactly.
those who live in the West, who live in societies which are not Muslims.
There was this very beautiful Iranian movie. I don't remember its name, but it was particularly for kids, and it's often shown on the kids' television, wherein a teacher is faced with different kinds of teens, and some have very good behavior, some have really, really rude behavior. And then this teacher goes to the home of each and every child and finds out the situation they are dealing with. And then he finds out at the end of the day, those who have been rude in the class have had very difficult situations at home. Somebody had lost father, somebody had had divorce of his parents, and somebody had different difficult situations. And then he deals with the children that way. So do we need to understand here that we got to be teaching our children not to react very fast, understand the situation, why different people possess different values?
It's not a matter of values. I think it's a matter of behavior. I mean, it's the person who doesn't have a good behavior realizes that his behavior is not good. He's
right.
rude. He loses his temper. He does not control his moods. It's not that it's a matter of value. It's a matter of behavior. He's not being able to... He realizes that it's against our values, our human values, not even religious values. Everyone understands it's not good to be angry. It's not good to be ill-tempered. It's not good to be rude. You have to be polite. You have to be courteous. You have to be loving, you have to be appreciating, you have to be praising.
Right.
Everyone realizes that. There's no one saying, even a robber, a thief knows what he's doing is wrong.
Right. Well, Professor, we'll be discussing more with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Raise your children to have three features: love for your Prophet, love for his household, and reciting the Quran."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have had the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, who is helping us, our teens, basically understand how to behave in a society wherein they face different teens who possess different moral values and have different behaviors. Some are good, some are rude, and how your teens should be behaving out there. Professor is helping us.
So, yes, our children should be able to deal with different situations. If they are faced with a person, they interact with a person who is not polite, who is rude to them, then, of course, as you said, that our child needs to understand maybe there's a difficult situation that he's facing at home, as you said, or he's stressed up, or he has difficulties with his parents or other, there's peer pressures or whatever. So we need our children to realize that we shouldn't react or overreact to the behavior of others. We should give the other person some time to make him, we should give him time to understand that whether this situation or this condition is temporary or is it permanent.
Exactly.
It may be a temporary situation.
Right. So as you said, it's sometimes said that the best response to rudeness is no response.
Exactly. So you can keep quiet, you can remain patient, you can remain silent, you can, you don't need to react at all. And if it is a permanent thing, then he unfortunately is belittling himself. He himself is diminishing himself in the face, in front of the others, of the other people. And he will certainly realize that he's making a mistake. But if you react to his rudeness and take some revenge upon him, then you will be at the same level, at par with the person, and everyone else.
You won't be having any difference with
you. You won't be having any difference. The audience would be saying, look, you're both at fault.
Yeah.
So you need to go to a higher moral ground. And going to a higher moral ground with humility, of course, and then you can maybe rectify the situation by, changing the attitude of the person. Or if it's not possible, then you can, not continue
and
that
before,
relationship.
Before actually changing that attitude, you can actually have an understanding why that person is behaving that way. Because sometimes, this media propaganda and so much of the whatever the peer pressure we have, they kind of have highlighted that rudeness is the weak man's imitation of strength. Basically, so it's kind of they're trying to imitate, they're very strong, but they are not, because it's a sign of being very, very weak.
Yes, so we need to help the person who's trying to be an adversary to us. Maybe he wants to be friends, but he doesn't know how to become a friend. He wants someone to, connect with, but he's not capable of doing it. So we need to help him or her do that. We need to make him understand that we are open to you. We are open to him and her to be able to build a positive and a constructive relationship.
Right. Well, thank you, Professor, for being with us. That was all the time we had for today. And you have actually helped us a lot with your valuable information on how teens can behave in a society where they face rude behaviors from other teens or some of the very degraded or immodest moral values from other teens. And all starts from the family and all starts with understanding and conversation. And if you yourself are rude, cynical, habitually sarcastic or pessimistic, your life options are going to be very, very limited. Thank you so much for listening. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.